I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date.
We don't care if we're a little bit late. This is pretty true.
Yep, yes, and it is Friday. It's Friday, April 26, 2024. I am alive in the studio, I think, for today's show. I'll probably play some repeat clips and some music. Stories of the day. So this morning, well, actually yesterday evening, my housemate Max came from a neighbor to neighbor meeting in Northampton. And Max came back and said that they learned there that there was going to be an eviction of people living between King Street and the rail trail, kind of behind the old Speedway gas station, which is now boarded up across from Stop and Shop, behind McDonald's, kind of like back there. I've been noticing people living there for like maybe a year now, and I've always admired the laundry line they have hung up, a cluster of tents and a community kitchen and stuff like that they got going on back there. And I actually had got an email last night that was sent out on a list from one of my coworkers that said, okay, this is some information that was passed along from Tim Benoit, an organizer and grant writer at Springfield No One Leaves, about an important call for action. That was for today, Friday, April 26th. We're asking the Northampton community to step up and ensure the safety and well-being of our houseless neighbors. Let's see. Please send to anyone you know in the Northampton area that would be willing to call, spread the word, or show up tomorrow morning. That was tomorrow morning, meaning this morning. Every summer, the Northampton community comes together to donate new tents, cots, and gear to folks who lost everything. Every fall, the houseless are told to tell the city where their homes are so they can be supported in the winter. Every winter, we leave them with no way to handle their trash, let alone their waste, only showing up to offer a hotel on the worst nights. And every spring, the media runs the same piece about how trashy it looks right after the snow thaws. Then the police do spring cleaning, where houseless folks are made homeless. They're given little to no notice. In this case, we've been told that the people living there were given 48 hours. An organizer and friend was given 48 hours last April and had to get community support to negotiate it to a week. Anyway, I heard they got 48 hours to be gone. Like, I heard they were told Wednesday morning that they had to be gone by Friday morning. They've been living there for a year. So then they have to leave suddenly, and the camp is left even worse. And then people say, oh, they didn't even pick up after themselves, because they had 2 days to leave. And then the community is left to replace all that the houseless had to abandon. We are politely asking for enough time to clean up after ourselves, a 30-day to quit eviction notice for any camp that's been up for 90 days uncontested, or a 14-day notice if it's been up for at least 30 days. This way we can save our tents, our cots, and our reputations in the community. We've been told that police will sweep the homeless encampment at the old Speedway beside McDonald's on King Street in Northampton. Please reach out to elected officials below, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to go by this morning. Anyway, I went by this morning. Unfortunately, I only had like 10 minutes between having to show up at Cancer for Cancer at noon. I only gave myself 10 minutes. And when I got there at like 11:30, there were legal organizers that had been arranged, and there was maybe 20 or 30 people there. A mixture, I think, of people living there and people in support and people trying to negotiate. And there was a handful of Northampton police officers there and they were all kind of in discussion. And so I was there just in time to overhear the discussion between the police officer representative and the representative of people who are living there. What I heard, it sounds like this, what I believe the police said, I did record it, but didn't have very good reception there. I believe the police said that Stop and Shop owns a property maybe adjacent. Maybe they bought the old Speedway gas station. I don't know. The gas station's boarded up now. But there's some, they said, the police said the Stop and Shop didn't like so many people walking across their parking lot or something like that. And asked National Grid to ask the police to remove the encampment. And the police said that National Grid were coming, they were planning on coming with a crew of 10 people, 10 men, I believe they said, to clear out the place, including cutting down the trees, I believe is what I heard. It's a really beautiful place there. Just like the trees and the nature part, and pretty nice place to live if you're going to live outside, and it's on several bus lines, it's on the rail trail, a block from the grocery store, pretty close to town, and you're not, like, there's no houses around for quite a ways, so they're not in anybody's backyard. So anyway, one of my coworkers helps cook breakfast at the Friday morning meal at First Churches, the free meal, free breakfast there, and he said there was a lot of discussion there at the breakfast this morning. Yeah, and also a lot of discontent with the way that people who are unhoused are blamed for being trashy when there's a lot of issues going on that are kind of, I don't know, beyond their control. And also people who are housed make a ton of trash. It's just seen differently. And maybe they have pedal people service. So where pedal people may provide some trash service for some of the encampments too. That's in discussion. And anyway, so I am very curious to see if there's going to be some organizing for Monday when National Grid people come. I don't know if it'll be organizing through like the Resilience Hub or through Touch the Sky or through Unhoused Community. The Unhoused Community, as if that's a monolith as compared to like the Housed Community. What does the Housed Community think? Anyway, I'm also curious if there'll be any organizing amongst the nature lovers who are concerned about yet more deforestation in Northampton, assuming what I heard about National Grid coming to cut down the trees being true. I also heard a rumor that National Grid wants to build something there. I don't know what they would build, substation. I don't know. Now I'm spreading rumors. Anyway, you're listening to Out There, and let's go to completely shift gears and play a song. And that was Cupid.
Me di una sirimba un domingo en la mañana cuando menos lo pensaba. Caí redondo como una guanábana sobre la alcantarilla. ¿Será la presión o me ha subido la bilirrubina? Y me entró una calentura y me fui poniendo blanco como bola en naftalina. Me llevaron a un hospital de gente, supuestamente. En la emergencia recepcionista escuchaba la lotería. Alguien se apiada de mí, grité perdiendo el sentido. Y una enfermera se acercó a mi oreja y me dijo, tranquilo Bobby, tranquilo. Me acarició con sus manos de Bengue y me dijo, ¿qué le pasa, atleta? Y le conté con lujo de detalles lo que me había sucedido. Hay que chequearte la presión, pero la sala está ocupada. Y mi querido, en este hospital no hay luz para un electrocardiograma. Abrí los ojos como luna llena y me agarré la cabeza. Porque es muy duro pasar el Niágara en bicicleta.
No me digan que los médicos se fueron. No me digan que no tienen anestesia. No me digan que el alcohol se lo bebieron. Y que el hilo de coser fue bordado en un mantel. No me digan que las pinzas se perdieron. Que el estetoscopio está de fiesta. Que los rayos X se fundieron. Y que el suero ya se usó para endulzar el café.
Papel de receta me escribió muy dulcemente, lo siento atleta. Me acarició con sus manos de Bengue y siguió su destino. Y oí claramente cuando dijo a otro paciente, tranquilo Bobby. Bajé los ojos a media asta y me agarré la cabeza. Porque es muy duro pasar el Niágara en bicicleta.
No me digan que los médicos se fueron. No me digan que no tienen anestesia. No me digan que el alcohol se lo.
That's Juan Luis Guerra. I think that song is about, the song is El Niágara en Bicicleta. I think it's kind of about like doing the impossible, maybe getting healthcare. No, that was a different song. I'll play that song next. I don't remember. You're listening to Out There. I'm Out There. But while the song was playing, I remembered a story from last week. I was doing my pedal people route and I'm going up Corticelli Street and, Corticelli Street, whatever. And I stopped to do a pickup and there were a couple of guys power washing the house. And one of the guys came over and he helped me bring the trash and recycling a little closer to my trailer because it was up the driveway somewhere where I couldn't really, where I had to park and walk. And he's all chatty. I'd seen him around town before. And he was pretty chatty. And then he says, "Hey, do you want us to power wash your trailer?" And I had thought that I was in a big rush at that moment and that I didn't have time for stopping. But then I considered the opportunity, and also considered that this was Thursday, and on Sunday, Pedal People was scheduled to get together and wash all our trailers together. And I thought, okay. So he helped me unload the trailer and take it up to where they were power washing, and his buddy who was power washing. You know, they gave me ear protection, they gave me a mask for all the splattery mud and dust and stuff. Then his buddy starts washing my trailer, and then they hand me the wand. There's a lot of power that comes through a power washer, kind of pushing you backwards like a fire hose, but a mini version of that. And it was very nice. They washed it all, washed my dirty totes, and gave me the mask to keep. And then the guy, he took a picture of me power washing it. And then I thought that, I was like, "Oh, you're going to use that to blackmail me? Pedal People. I thought you were human powered using power washers." Well, he said, "Do you want me to text it to you?" And I said, "Sure, you can have my number." So I gave him my number. And he texted it to me. And I had a very clean trailer. Speaking of Pedal People stories, that reminds me of another Pedal People story from this week. On Monday, I was emptying downtown trash barrels. And I was running late. What's new? Because the trash was a little heavier than I expected. And I hadn't planned enough time. I was emptying a trash barrel in front of, Pulse, I think it is, on Market Street. And my coworker, Brecton, pulls up doing their crossing guard, just finishing their crossing guard duty, I think, at Bridge Street School. So Brecton pulls up and is like, "Hey, Ruthie." I'm like, "I can't talk. I'm late. I got to finish this and be at Cans for Cancer by 9. Bye." And I rode off to the next barrel, which was in front of Fitzwillie's, and I start pulling that barrel, and there's a man standing in front of Fitzwillie's kind of looking at me. He's getting ready to go inside, it looks like. He's looking at me, and I'm like, "Oh, looks like somebody wants to talk. I guess I better just make time to talk." And the guy says, "Do you get paid for this?" And I said, "Yeah, we've had a contract with the city since 2007. And he said, "Well, do you enjoy it?" And he's kind of fishing around in his bag a little bit. He said, "Do you enjoy it?" And I said, "Yeah, I've been doing it for 21 years. And he said, "Well, do you accept tips?" And I said, "Sure, we always accept tips." And he hands me a $100 bill and says, "Thanks for your work." I said, "Thank you." That doesn't happen every day, by the way. No, I have never gotten a $100 tip doing Pedal People. And then I had to figure out what to do with it. Shouldn't be a problem.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo, que caiga un aguacero de yuca y té, del cielo una harina de queso blanco y al sur una montaña de café. Ojalá que llueva café en el campo, peinar un alto cerro de trigo y mapué, baja por la colina de arroz graneado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Otoño en vez de hojas secas, vista mi cosecha piti sale, sembra una llanura de batata y fresas, ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco
sufra tanto, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en Villa Vázquez oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café. Cerro de trigo y mapuey, baja por la colina de arroz craneado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Oh, 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 oh. Ojalá el otoño en vez de hojas secas vista mi cosecha y pipizale. Sembra una llanura de batata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en los montones oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre. Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que todos los niños canten en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en la Romana oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ay, ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café.
Juan Luis Guerra with Ojalá que llueva café. I sure hope it rains coffee in the country. Something like that. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Next. Here, we'll have a little clip from Max of Max's Mending.
My housemate Max is working on their seamstress business. Max, how can people find you?
Oh, well, you could find me in person every Saturday. I'm in the Masonic Street Laundromat in downtown Northampton. I'm there from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If any of your clothes, they aren't quite working right, like, whoa, you ripped a big hole in your pants, or, oh, your pants, they've always been a little too long, and you want them to be shorter or something. Really, whatever it is, there's a pretty good chance I can do it. Is your zipper broken? I've got zippers I could put on. But yeah, anyways, you could come in. You could come in with your clothes, and we could look, and we could talk, and I do like customer chooses pricing. Like really, it's flexible for any budget. So don't let the dollar signs scare you away. I just want to fix your stuff and help it keep working for you.
So people can come in with their clothes. Will you help out people if they come in without their clothes?
Well, you know, we could talk about it, and I could be like, "Why don't you come in again next time?"
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, that's my housemate, Max. Max, at that time, that interview was a few weeks old, and at that time, Max was mostly just at Masonic Street, but now that the Tuesday Farmers Market has started behind Thorns, Max has a tent, table, stand, special trailer at the Tuesday Farmers Market. When I say special trailer, it's the trailer they used last week was a homemade trailer. I mean, you should go just to see the homemade trailer made out of wood and wheels and baling twine that our housemate Vince made. Speaking of Vince, my housemate Vincent Hedger, He's farming land up at Riquezas del Campo in Hatfield. This is his first season there, and he's doing it all by hand, like, I don't know, an acre or something like that. Vince comes from farming 7 years in Maryland all by hand, a farm that he called Come By Bike Farm. So he's biking out to Hatfield every day and turning that land. His hope is to give away at least half of what he grows. He's kind of out of the money economy, largely. But if you are interested in helping out in a farm environment with someone who knows what they're doing and a very wise, friendly, thoughtful person that you could learn a lot from, Vince is looking for more help on the farm. You can contact me if you're interested. Me, I'm Ruthie. Best way to contact me is through Pedal People or email me, Ruthie, R-U-T-H-Y, at pedalpeople.coop. And yeah, that farm is in Hatfield off of Linseed Road behind R.K. Miles. And it started about 5 years ago. I think it was a project of the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. The initial idea was to provide immigrant farmers with a chance to grow, like have their own, you know, be in charge of their own farms, land, gardens, and also to be able to grow. There was interest in them growing stuff from their home countries, things like that. But now the project is looking for new energy and anyone who can help grow things, maintain the electric fence, the greenhouse, things like that. Mentioning the Tuesday Farmers Market reminds me that I believe the Wednesday Florence Farmers Market is going to start soon. It usually goes May through October, and the calendar's hiding from me, but I think May, maybe next week. Yeah, that's it, next week. Is it May 1st? Next Wednesday? Will there be a Florence Farmers Market? More research is needed. There's also the Saturday Farmers Market in downtown Northampton. Speaking of things that happen many days of the week, I believe there's also vigils, rallies, protests, standouts to stop the genocide in Palestine. I heard there was one Thursday afternoons at First Churches. There's one Friday, I think Thursday from 4 to 5, maybe. There's one Friday at the roundabout. Maybe it's 12 to 1, not sure. There's one Saturday, just a general peace vigil, Saturday in downtown Northampton at Main and King. I believe there's still a standout Sundays from maybe 11 to 12 at the roundabout, Route 9 and the interstate. And there's also some people that have been vigiling Mondays in front of L3 Harris, the military contractor in Northampton that's making surveillance equipment and other things for the Israeli army. The Monday vigil at L3 Harris is from 4 until 5 or 5:30. L3 Harris, that's up on Village Hill off of Route 66, on Route 66 West Street. Next on Out There, I think I'll play. Yeah, here's Brandon from Harlan, Kentucky.
It's February 10th, 2024. It's annual Shop and Share for Domestic Violence. I'm standing out here outside Food City with my co-flyer. Yeah. I don't know if you, what's your name?
Brandon.
And Brandon was talking about his work situation, which is, so like, where do you work?
CTA Acoustics,
Corbin. And before you moved to Pineville, where were you commuting from?
Harlan.
Harlan to Corbin?
Yeah.
How far is that?
80 miles.
80 miles?
Yep.
Every day?
Yep.
What is your work shift like?
7 to 7, makes for a long day.
Overnight?
Yeah.
7 p.m. to 7 a.m.? Wait, 12-hour shift?
Yep. 6 days a week.
6 days a week? And yeah. how long would your commute take you?
It's 3 hours a day, hour and a half each way.
80 miles. Yeah. Wow. That costs too, gas, car, and all that.
Yeah, time you drive and work, that's about it.
What's CTA?
They make acoustics for your car, thermal acoustics. It's fiberglass products.
And thermal acoustics. What does it look like? What's that like?
The thermal is the heat. Like it's foils over the, you know, like the fiberglass. It keeps like the heat from the motor to the firewall and from inside your car. So, they make a lot of different parts.
And where does it go inside the car?
Pretty much outlines your old car, your firewall, your dash, your doors, your hood, your trunk, your over your spare tire. Yeah, just a lot of different places.
What's your role in the manufacture of this?
I run the molds, the parts.
Yeah. Do you know where the stuff, like where it goes after it leaves that factory?
Most of ours go to Flint, Michigan, to the Ford plant. The largest one. It's the largest one in the United States.
Wow.
Ford is 70% of their business.
Wow.
It's $500 million a year business. So it's, you know, money.
Money.
I worked in coal mines 20 years.
You were in coal mines?
Yeah, I worked in coal mines 20 years. And I got this mess here and had to do a little bit of something different. Had to have a night shift job, you know, that way I could do my stuff during the day. So. It's a big change for me. Go from 5 miles underground to working with 700 people is a little bit different.
When you were underground, just like by yourself? Or how many people were around?
They're probably 10 of us, you know, or something. It's nothing like working in a factory.
Do you have like a preference? Or what are some of the pros and cons?
I'd rather work in the coal mines any day. Coal mines is cool in the summer, warm in the winter. You know, other than that, I mean, it's dangerous. Don't get me wrong, but it's dangerous driving to work too, you know. So, you know, it's just what all you want to do, I guess. Don't have to itch with the fiberglass.
How's the air quality, like breathing, compare in each place?
I guess, I mean, they'll be about the same. I mean, you can see the coal dust floating in there, or you can see the fiberglass floating in there. So it's just, you know, that and there is a, you know.
You wear a mask?
I don't, but you can. I mean, it don't seem to bother me, so.
Do you ever worry about it, like, building up, like, long-term lung damage?
Well, I mean, they say it can. I mean, you know, coal dust, they give you black lung. But now I've done it 20 years, and it's not really affected me yet. So as far as the fiberglass, I can't really, you know, tell any difference other than the itching, which I'm sure you breathe some of it. You know, because, I mean, you can see it floating in the air, so, you know, I'm sure you breathe some of it. But it don't affect me, so.
Yeah. How old are you?
43. Hmm. Yeah, I was married for 21 years and got a divorce and got 4 girls and 5 grandbabies.
Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
That was Brandon, someone that I met doing some flowering together in Middlesbrough, Kentucky back in February. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Hearing Brandon talk about his commute made me think about cars. I think I'm probably always thinking about cars because they basically dominate the landscape and almost every movement that anybody makes. Even if I'm not moving in one, I'm still trying to avoid them. Oh, the days of COVID when I had the freedom to go as I please by bike or foot without getting squashed. Cars. So I was thinking about the people that are living behind the old Speedway near McDonald's who are getting evicted this weekend at the encampment there. And I was thinking about, I think it's like 5 acres of pavement, like a couple hundred yards further south on King Street, like 5 acres of pavement that used to be a car dealership and plans are for it to be a car dealership again by Foster Farr. There's a call to have housing there. I mean, that place is at just like asphalt as compared to the place where people currently are that has grass and green things and trees and shade. But like you'd think people could live somewhere where it's just been like 5 acres in town of asphalt being cracked by grass and trees. Why don't they just let people build something there? Well, I heard, I should read this letter that Paige and I wrote. Well, really, Paige wrote it. This is a letter to the Gazette. Many listeners have probably already read this, but I want to read it on Out There. This was published on around April 3rd, 2024. Imagine a forest emerges from that wasteland of asphalt on King Street, north of Foster Fir. Imagine oak and hickory, an understory of ironwood, winterberry, serviceberry, and woodland wildflower species. Shade cools the urban heat island effect. Air is refreshed, rainwater absorbed, carbon sequestered. Our human selves feel rejuvenated as we work to heal land that has been trashed. We as a community could decommodify that piece of land, depave that asphalt, restore the soil. We could plant and tend a forest there. Communities across the world are experimenting with planting pocket forests in urban areas. We have everything we need to make this happen right here on King Street. Imagine depaving parties where we wield pry bars to remove the asphalt that's asphyxiated the soil for decades. We spread organic matter to restore the soil. Kids in the rewilding classes at the various schools bike over for planting, tending, and learning land stewardship skills. Folks haul water by bike for watering the trees in their first year or so, as they have done in previous planting projects. This forest would need no tie into water, sewer, or grid, no parking lot, no mowers or leaf blowers, no Wi-Fi or broadband. It could simply be a woodland. Actually, some years ago, the reforestation process got underway at this site as oak trees pushed through the asphalt. They now stand tall along the rail trail there, ready to offer kinship to the younger trees that would come. They serve as an impressive example of what we could expect of trees on that site. You may think this is the dream of some delusional tree huggers, but we have yet to meet up with anyone who'd rather see a car lot there than a forest. The oaks show us nature is ready and willing to breathe life into that space. Yeah, thanks, Paige. That was Paige's little brainchild that I assigned my name to very happily. Paige Bridges of Northampton wrote that mostly. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. So then I read something in the Gazette recently about how the car dealership was in line with Northampton's values. Well, yeah, you see how many cars are here. And someone said something like, and they'll probably, you know, they'll probably sell electric cars, and we need more electric cars. There. So now I'll read the letter to the editor I wrote about electric cars. This was published last year, last May. In the push to get people to buy electric cars, one reason I've seen given is because, quote, electric vehicles are fun to drive, end quote. Bulldozers and dragline excavators are fun to drive, too. But is anything as fun as riding a bike? Electric vehicles are insanely inefficient, though perhaps less insanely inefficient than other invented forms of transportation. The best-selling EVs on the market today weigh about 4,500 pounds. What nutcase would drag around 4,500 pounds of metal and stuff with them when they want to go buy a gallon of oat milk? Even if they wanted to use the car to carry a lot of weight, the vehicle can only carry about one quarter of its own weight. A bicycle, on the other hand, can weigh 30 pounds and be able to carry 300 pounds. That's efficient. And a bike or e-bike or electric scooter or a shared bus occupies only a fraction of the space of a gazillion private e-cars. Occupying less space means less pavement, so that homes, schools, workplaces, and stores can be closer together, thus making it more feasible to walk, bike, wheelchair, etc. People like that electricity for e-cars can come from a variety of sources: coal, solar, wind, hydro. But for real fuel versatility, fuel for biking or walking can be found in gardens, growing on trees, in stores, free piles, in the hands of kind, good cooking friends, even readily available in dumpsters. Oh, how we love to think technology will save us. Faced with tens of billions of dollars of advertising images telling us that cars are, quote, efficient, how else are we supposed to think? But when Americans finished taking the Congo's cobalt, Indonesia's nickel, and Bolivia's lithium, you can be sure there will be another desperate grab by the auto industry to sell the next green thing. Battery-guzzling cars or gas-guzzling cars, they're all the same in terms of running over children, demanding paving over of the land, and ruining soil, water, and lives in mines around the world. Something less horrible is still horrible. Ruthie Woodring, Florence. Yeah, I stand behind that letter 1,000,000%. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And next on Out There.
Girando malherita.
And that was Pascuala y la Vaca y Fauna, El Baile del Coyaruna. I looked up a translation. Honestly, when I decided to play that song, I had no idea what it was about. But it turns out it's very apropos to what I've been talking about, extremely apropos. It's called The Dance of the Miner. And here's an English translation. My minority, it resists, it resists. I have a myth that makes me calm. I have a ritual that makes me rich. I have a dance that makes me holy. I have a siku, that's a traditional Aymara musical instrument, that is blessed. The mining industry, it took my companions. Cry, my heart, without my friend. My dignity in currency wears out like a wheel. It rolls like the earth, spinning, badly injured. But when there is carnival, my senata, which is a traditional ceremonial mask, it will heal me. Song of the miner, music of the miner. And some of those lyrics were in Quechua. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie. And next, I'll stay tuned for Democracy Now, coming up at 5 o'clock. There will be Bike Lab this Saturday. That's tomorrow. Yes, there will be Bike Lab. And what else do I have to say? I don't know. Where's my notes? They're flying away. I want to play the song, but here it is. This is Rita McNeil. Sorry, the sound quality there is not really going to work for the radio. So I'll try a different version.
It's a working man. I swear to God, if I ever see the sun, or for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. At the age of 16 years, with my father close to tears, as he vowed never again to send his sons to the dark recess of the mines, where you age before your time. And the coal dust lies heavy on your lungs. It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground. And I swear to God, if I ever see the sun, offer still alive, and the wheels above the mines no longer wind, and they finally close the hole where for years we clawed for coal.
and never again will we go down underground. It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground, and I swear to God, if I ever see the sun, up for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground, and I swear
that was a song written by Rita McNeil and performed by Welshman David Alexander called Working Man, or the Miner Song. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. I'm your host, Ruthie. Democracy Now! Comes up at 5 o'clock. And if you want to hear archived editions of Out There, you can hear them at weatherbeard.com/out there. But they're a little out of date. This is Aida Bossa. Vida de colores.
No es blanca ni negra, es de colores. La vida es de colores, muchos colores. No es blanca ni negra, es de colores. La vida es de colores, muchos colores. Mi sombra leve, como borrón en lienzo, se mueve como el viento para sobrevivir. Azul el llanto. Vuelvo a reír y van naciendo.